Every morning round about this time, Barbara Friedman joins me in studio. It's her task, along with the team, to look after our social media as well as our website, capetalk.co.za. A lot has been written, has been said, has been tweeted about another shooting, mass shooting in the United States, this time in Chicago, yesterday during a 4th of July parade. Again, terrible scenes that we're seeing on the television screens. But what was quite interesting was a tweet by the National Rifle Association, which has gone down like a lead balloon.
Yeah, that would sum it up. So this tweet went out before the shooting, but as people online are saying, this July 4th gun tweet aged terribly after the gunman opened fire. And I thought, let's just play the NRA little advert for the 4th of July, because obviously this gun lobby issue is so divisive in America.
The only reason you're celebrating Independence Day is because citizens were armed. Happy 4th of July from the National Rifle Association of America.
So it's citizens were armed, and that is why you're free.
Talk about reading the room. Look,
I know they did it before the shooting,
yeah.
But then, of course, it quickly went very, very
historically,
wrong.
Historically, they're not wrong. Historically, they are not wrong in terms of the American Revolution and armed little colonial militias to fight imperialistic and colonial British. Well, they were also colonials, but the imperialistic
British
monarchy.
And the indigenous people?
Yes.
I mean,
so,
come on.
So they're not historically wrong, but in terms of context and reading the room.
Who is free, though? Because the indigenous people of America would not agree with you.
Of course.
So you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a very particular history that they're talking about, and it's just this kind of... read the room, why don't you? I mean, this is not the first shooting. We had the Texas shooting. We've had... It never stops. Mm. And so they put out their bit of propaganda. And, of course, people have... It was just in terrible taste after this happened. But, you actually pointed out that a South African was tweeting.
There's Adam Vals, who has been on air with us a couple of times. He's an environmental writer. He now spends a lot of his time in the U.S. And he tweeted this. And I'll read a few lines from this. He tweeted this yesterday. Adam Vals from Cape Town now lives in Chicago. A few minutes ago, we were taking our kids to the 4th of July parade in Glenview, a comfortable suburb of Chicago, when we were suddenly turned back. Parade cancelled. Active shooter in Highland Park, whispered a nearby woman, so the kids wouldn't hear. Highlands Park is nearby. If anything, richer, safer, and even greener lawn than Glenview. We're seeing reports of multiple bodies on the streets. If we can't celebrate our freedom because yet another asshole got a gun and is shooting innocent citizens in public, what is our freedom worth? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We need civilized gun laws. How do I explain to my kids why we were suddenly turned back from our Glenview 4th of July parade because an active shooter was turning a nearby celebration into a bloodbath? That was Adam Valtz's tweet. He's a Cape Townian, now lives in Chicago.
And just the thought of your little child having to encounter that in any shape or form. Mm. It's just, how do they ever get past that?
I appreciate that that the passerby whispered because...
Didn't want the children to be
terrified. So, gosh, it hits home, especially if it's people that you know. And I have traveled in... Well, I've traveled a bit in the United States, and things that you hear or you live vicariously through pop culture, social media, or even the television screen, you internalize. And I have had talks with friends, if we were in a public area. In some places I've seen there were clear evacuation signs.
Right.
In case of... An event
part of the norm.
which was kind of like the nudge, wink. Mm. Well, if there is a shooter, these are the escape routes. So it's very different when you live there and you experience that palpable fear than when you're just experiencing off a CNN or Twitter news thread.
Right.
You know. Next up, what are gentle minions? There were minions in our studios last week. Apparently, there's a new Minions movie. So they were visited KFM life-size minions. But these are different types of minions?
Well, so the new movie is the Despicable Me prequel called Minions, and I'm going to probably get this wrong, The Rise of Gru.
Gru is the ultimate supervillain.
Supervillain. Yeah, I know. I'm a little bit behind.
You can see I have kids, but also and that I clearly don't.
So yeah, the movie is just enormous. I mean, it's like massive box office movie. But what's happened is there's a TikTok trend where people are dressing up in formal attire with a tie and a suit, and they're going to view the movie. But it's also a trend on TikTok. So there are videos being shared of these large groups of teenage boys riding up and down escalators in and going into the movie houses and applauding in the movie from beginning to end. But what's happening, and this is in America, is that they're going into the movie houses and they're like in these big groups and they're making this enormous racket, and the mommies and daddies are taking their children and leaving because it's too much. And they're asking for refunds from the movie house. And so now the cinemas are banning these boys from going into the movies because they're losing out on the ticket sales. So I just sort of, I suppose what amused me here is, because we do talk about social media, is when something on social media kind of bleeds into, maybe unfortunate word, but into real life, and then has a consequence.
But so
I don't know if it's happening here at all.
If what happens on social media finds its way into the real life, so these kids, these boys are pretending to be minions, basically, because that's what the minions do. They cheer, and they cheer Gru. Are simply
with their
just
little fingers going together,
cosplaying what is happening in the movie into real life. But I don't know if you've ever been to those Rocky Horror.
I knew you were going to say that.
I went, but
that's different.
How is that different? Because I want to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and everyone is saying all the lines.
Because
that particular
movie house, and I think there was the one in New York.
In Chelsea, I've been.
Yeah, it's a cult event. You go there dressed in your outfit with your newspaper, which you put over your head when Brad and Janet have to run back to the car. Just stay as you are. And this is different. This is like every single arbitrary movie house, and they're normal families there watching the movie, and then these guys come in. Plus, I think it's a bit scary for little kids.
So, they're watching a movie about evil little
minions. But they're running around the movie house. Oh.
So there should basically be a dedicated gentle minions night with a movie house. Yeah. All the minions come watch, and you can
scream and shout and run around.
Exactly. And finally, a African migrant that is not being welcomed in the United States generally aren't. But why is this particular migrant not being accepted?
This Florida county is basically under quarantine due to them discovering this fast-growing population of the invasive giant African land snail. But it's because of you know, it's a problem to have species from other countries in terms of your, it's like you can't take any seeds or plants from one country to another because it becomes invasive. I know this is we're not talking about people here, Lester, but I mean, you know, it's how we ended up with black wattle in the Cape taking over, or hakea, or, you know, Port Jackson. So in this case, the snail, which is not from America, it seems that they might have come in through the illegal pet trade. I don't know why people would import a snail as a pet. Do you?
Because it looks cool. It's a giant snail that fits in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
It'd essentially be a pet.
Okay. But it's illegal to own them in the United States. And some exotic pet owners still keep the invasive pests, and sometimes they get discarded into the wild, or they get accidentally lost, and then they can get a foothold in the terrain. And this is the same with plant species. And so now they've discovered them in Miami-Dade County, and they need to eradicate them because they're going to take over, and they're going to eat the the flora and fauna that are part of the actual biosphere. So that's why I just thought it was an interesting story that they're quarantining people in Florida to try and get this under control.
I don't like how they call our animals.
I know you don't.
The giant African snail. Remember when there was a epidemic of, and they called it the killer African bees.
Well, I don't like those Australian plants that have come to our country, and all those British pigeons and those grey squirrels. That was all Cecil John Rhodes, let me tell you. He did. He brought that. I think he brought the starlings and the squirrels. I could be wrong.
Killing our environment.
They really are.
Barbara Friedman, these and other stories available on our website, social media, capetalk.co.za. Barbara Friedman's back tomorrow.